Hello, I'm Will Shires and this is Talking Trucks. In this episode, I'm going to be chatting with Bal Singh, who's the Key Account Director at Guest Trucks. This year, he clocks up an impressive 40 years with Iveco. If you're enjoying the podcast and want to stay abreast of everything that's happening in this industry, then why not subscribe to Commercial Motor Magazine Weekly? For great deals, head over to www.com-mot.com. That's www.com-mot.com. Bal, 40 years working for the same company. That's quite some achievement these days. But what I want to know is, where did it all start? Let's rewind the clock more than 40 years and find out what you wanted to do when you were at school. Because I'm guessing it wasn't an Iveco truck salesman, or was it?
No, you're right there, Will, it wasn't. We can actually go back to April 1967, the year I was born. I was born in Tickford Street, Newport Pagnell, 500 metres away from the famous British icon in them days, Aston Martin factory.
Yeah.
Move on 12 years, and then I was 12 years old, I wanted to be a car mechanic. And I was going to buy a Ferrari at 40. I told my parents and they said, you're crazy. So after leaving school in June 1983, I applied for to Perry's Ford dealership and Shaw and Kilburn Vauxhall dealership to see if I had any apprentices.
Okay.
Or any apprentice programs. Shaw and Kilburn said no. Perry said they had four car places and four truck places. That I was informed also the car places all now been filled. So I said, okay, I'll have a go on trucks. Don't know why or where that's come from, but however, we'll have a go. He said to me, the manager there, Robert Hall, it was a YTS 12 months program on £25 a week. And I was told if I was good enough, I'll be kept on. And I was the only one out of four that was kept on the following August.
Okay.
I asked the question why I was kept on. He said, well, I've watched all four of you and it's your work ethic and your motivation and keen to learn the trade. I also passed my driving test after six lessons. After qualifying, a family moved from Milton Keynes to Bedford, and in June 1988, I started with a Iveco Ford truck dealership then, Charles King of Bedford. Gained the HGV at 21, a tachograph licence, did various roles, still on the shop floor. I furthered my career, stayed on the shop floor in total of 12 years, and then out of the blue, general manager come and see me in 1995. He said, there's two salesman jobs upstairs. Would you fancy going one? I gave it some thought and I said I would agree to it pending after 6 months. If I don't like it, I'll go back down as the shop on the shop floor as a technician, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah.
And after 6 months, I thought, this is quite nice. Keep your hands clean. See the customers I deal with and try and sell them vehicles.
Yeah.
Now on the other side of the fence. And in the first 12 months in 1996, I registered a total of 45 trucks, which I think was quite an achievement myself.
What was the first one?
It was a 12-ton Euro cargo sleeper for recovery operation.
Okay.
So a bit of a different beast altogether.
Yeah.
And then the business got taken over by Progress Trucks. And then I could see it wasn't really for me the way they were running the operation. So I applied to Iveco to see, and they asked me to speak to TC Harrison's. So in May 1997, I started as a salesman at TC Harrison's. In 2001, we opened Cambridge and promoted me to site and sales manager at Cambridge, looking after Peterborough, Boston and Cambridge for sales. Carried on as selling and managing the staff from 2001 to 2008. We were served a blow by Iveco and served as termination in 2008. Difficult to understand why, etc. And then I was getting calls, and so my staff obviously trying to take me on other brands.
Yeah.
And offering me other jobs. I stayed loyal until then Guest stupid us all over in May 2010.
Yep.
And then we were left as the Eastern region still, And then they had a reshuffle within the organisation and still kept me as the Eastern Region sales manager for the Eastern Region. And then we rejigged the whole infrastructure, because obviously taking on the Sherwood Group and opening up Winsford.
Yeah.
And then they did an Eastern Region, a Western Region and a Northern Region. So now they promoted me to a key account director for the group and Eastern Region sales manager.
Got you. Which is when you got this rather nice Ferrari themed office.
Yes. I've always have a passion for Ferraris. And like I said earlier on, I was going to have one at age of 40, and 40 came along and it took me 8 months to actually find what I wanted. Originally wanted the 355. However, some of my customers have got a 360, and they said if you can save a little bit more, go for the 360, because it's a finer tuned and more reliable vehicle.
And you got one.
And I did get one.
Yeah,
yes.
Fantastic.
So it took me a bit of time to find the right one I wanted, and it is a manual, which is quite a rare beast. Yeah, got one, still got one, and it's like my wife says, it's an ornament in the garage.
Yeah. what year is it?
It's a January 2000 registered, so it's private plate on it for myself, in red, creamer hide.
It had to be red, didn't it?
It had to be red. So, although the yellow is the official Ferrari colour.
Oh, okay.
So, as you see on the badges in the office.
Yeah.
So,
You've been to Maranello, I assume.
Yeah, we've been a couple of three or four times taking some customers. Very, very. What's the word? Looking very, very. Exciting and interesting how the whole car is all put together and the way the factory is run, so slick, and the organization there is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the factory there is unbelievable, you know, when you see the trees and the growing in the plant.
Yeah.
And you think, well, what's that all about? And then you've got the three levels of the V12s, the V8s, and all the fabrics being sewn. Yeah, phenomenal place. And even all the area outside, everybody's so Ferrari passionate.
Yeah.
And you know, it's an unbelievable place. If ever somebody gets an opportunity, please take it.
So how many Avecos would I have to buy to get that trip?
It's not a matter of how many you want to buy, it's how loyal will you be to the brand over the term, shall we say.
It's never
about buying. If we look at it commercially, you know, are they going to be a long established customer of ours, which I always seem to retain, and I'm good at that. I don't just want to sell one. You know, I've always said, sales sell the first one, and service sell the rest. And that's why I work jointly hand in glove with service departments to ensure that, you know, they are looked after as well as I look after the customers.
Now, tell me, Iveco is clearly on a roll at the moment.
Yes.
The S-Way and X-Way are fantastic trucks. They look the part as well.
Yes.
But it hasn't always been that good. Tell me, what's been the worst period for selling Ivecos?
I wouldn't say there's ever been a worst period, personally, because I only joined, like, say, sales in 95, and then that's when Eurotech was still...
Yes.
About, and Eurotech, when that came out, we couldn't get enough of them because it came with a factory high roof, not a third party high roof, and the Alto cab, which is the Eurostar, the bigger brother of the Eurotech, was even more popular because it's so spacious. And I didn't think fuel consumption, or customers never really talked about fuel consumption in them days, because everything was big engines and big cabs and so on. So it's just the perception of the product, and customers have always said, you know, it's not as good as some of the other brands. But in today's market, I'll challenge anybody and any customer, and all I say is give us the opportunity and we will demonstrate to you that it is as good, and if not better.
Well, the thing is, you've got the drivers on side now.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've gone to Truckfest for years.
Yes.
And, you know, I could count the number of Stralis I've seen there on one hand, I think. But now, there's S-Ways everywhere, and they're customised too, aren't they?
Absolutely. For 25 years, I've done Truckfest, and sadly at Peterborough, which is my home dealer here, is now come to an end.
Yeah.
And I have, in the previous ranges, we had to sort of, to fill up our stand, we would put the whole range on, from a daily to Eurocargo to Stralis. And the Stralis that we struggle, or customers didn't want to customise them or pimp them up, as you want to call it, And the maximum that we could actually get is probably £1,000 of extras.
Yeah.
However, in today's market, with the S-Way, I travel up and down the motorways, and I'm sure other people do as well, and they see them. You rarely, very, very rarely see a white one, apart from some of the blue chip companies, which is understandable. However, they've all been pimped up, striped, painted. The other option, and the great thing Iveco have done, is you can actually get a catalogue now with plenty of extras to put on your new Iveco S-Way or X-Way, where in the previous we sort of didn't have that option.
Yeah.
So inside and outside. So it's not just a one thing that people take. Every truck is different and everybody wants to customise it differently.
Yeah. But right outside this window now, you've got one of your customer trucks. Talk us through that.
RD Williams, long established customer of mine. I've known the family good 35 years, I should say. I've known him when I was on the shop floor days, and used to work on their vehicles, and then obviously then started talking to him when I was in sales. Yes, Andy and his mum Val always respected myself, and vice versa, is mutual, and we would always spec up a truck and sit down together. They did try Eurotex and the Eurostars. They even had Turbotex and Turbostars that I used to work on in the early days, yeah. So, and then Stralis come out. They did have a handful of Stralises, the early models, 52 plates and 03s. Sadly, you know, did they perform or didn't they perform? Whatever reason, they weren't expected. You know, the wheelbases weren't the right wheelbases. They needed to have 180 to 200 litre tanks on there. We only did a 3.8 rather than 4 metre, which we do today. So, yeah, whilst the truck was a nice and decent truck, it didn't fit their profile for their operation, shall we say. So they moved to DAF. A lot of their product was DAF and Mercedes, but I never stopped going in and calling on them and talking to them and said, look, you know, something will come out and some things will change. And here we are today. They had the demo of the S-Way, and Andy said, no, perfect truck, we'll order a couple. Two's turned to four, four's turned to eight, eight's turned to 14. And he's going to have a further four more delivered this year. So a fleet of shy of 52, he's going to have a best part of 28% of.
And are they all as customised as this?
All customised, all of them. One of them's a limited edition 50th anniversary one, and he's really customised that. He's gone back to his roots of the old colours of the red chassis, blue and white, and then all the writing's hand painted. And he's even gone the extra mile of putting a pair of stack exhausts on the back of them that not wired in.
Yeah, oh
so,
wow.
So a little bit, yeah, special, shall we say. Yeah. That was a special 50th anniversary one for him.
And as far as this one's concerned here, these are all the accessories are factory fit, are they?
Majority of them factory fit, and we get the parts from the parts department for fitting the other thing, chrome bits, which we fit in the workshop, and the customised rear lockers are all done by an outside company, and VLS, who are vehicle lining services, they do all the primit kits and the microwave inside for us.
So I've spoken to Iveco sales guys before who've said they've had years and years of knocking on doors, and now all of a sudden that's changed and it's their doors that have been knocked on by the hauliers.
This is so true, and even I'm getting them calls, and these are the customers that I've tried to get through the door and explain to them, you know, give us an opportunity, and we were always sort of door shut and couldn't see the right person. But how things have changed and come round, because now they're actually listening to, as soon as we put a vehicle into a different operator, they're talking to them before they're contacting us and saying, and we're getting so much praise on the truck, and long it continue. And it helped by service and parts supporting them. And with the new technology that Iveco brought in with the over-the-air waves technology, you can do software updates while the vehicle's going along. You can even do software updates linking into the vehicle while the driver's having his 45-minute break, so the vehicle doesn't have to come to the workshop, which reduces downtime.
I see.
So, no, customers are... And once they've tried the vehicle out, customers are saying, actually, it's a very, very good vehicle, and the drivers are on your side. That's key.
All right, so
What sets Iveco apart from the competition? Well, basically, you go into a new customer there. Yep. How do you go about selling the truck? What's your USPs there?
So you go into a new customer, and depending on what they're operating currently, you've got to obviously do your homework first and foremost. You know, what they're running, what they're operating, why they're operating that. Because it could be you're never going to sell the vehicle to that customer, hence they've got a dealer next door.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might as well save your energy, because you're just going to exhaust your energy and waste your time because you're never going to sell. So you look at the whole organisation and then think, right, why are they running that product? So you then you understand why they're running it, work a plan out to try find a product that we've got and spec up the right product rather than pull something out of stock, because sadly that's what everybody's been doing in the past 10 years previous to COVID, and spec up something that you will enjoy specing up and getting the right spec truck for that customer, because two expensive things for an operator. Firstly, it's a driver. Secondly, it's fuel.
Yeah.
So if you can save them half a mile a gallon, that's quite over the 5-year period on based on 120 or 30,000 kilometres, that's an awful lot of saving. So, and I know people sort of come back to say, you know, the residual value isn't as good as some of the other brands, but then the price up front is not as much with the interest charges current today. You'll still be a significant saving.
Got you. Now, hauliers I talk to tell me that the dealership, in particular the relationship they have with a salesman,
yes,
is more important than the actual truck itself. Do you agree with that? Is it all built on relationships?
100%. I sort of agree to a certain degree, because a salesman starts the sale, and once a salesperson started the sale, we here at the Guest and Sherwood Group, we bring in the service team and the parts team to make sure that they're all linking up and talking to each other. Because the last thing you want is a salesman keep getting a call that the vehicle's got an issue, he or she can't book it in, because at the end of the day, they need to have the relationship going forward with the service department, because you could be away from the business or on holiday and they have a bad experience, and then that could be all over for all the hard work and effort you've put in over the years of getting into and breaking into that.
Yeah.
But overall, like I say, as a group, we involve service and parts in from day one to make sure that they got all the names and email addresses that they need to talk to the right people and get service at levels they expect and want and need.
All right, now be honest here.
Yes.
If you could rewind the clock 40 years,
yes,
do you wish you'd started with a different brand?
No.
100% committed to Iveco.
100%. I think I've got Italian blood in myself. All the friends and families I grew up around me when I grew up are all Italian. I can understand a lot of Italian, and I can speak a lot of dialect Italian. And people actually, when I speak to on the phone, some are actually quite shocked, because they say you've got an accent from Naples. Nabaladan, as they say, as people will say. And I've always had a passion for Ferrari. So, yes, Iveco joined with Iveco Ford, and then the rest is history. We're going with Iveco. I love the product. I can't say I can't. It cut me in half. It's a disease. Iveco runs through my veins, and can't say no more. And I've seen the product from where it's come all them years ago. We were always forward first out the blocks with new technology, and from disc brakes, auto gearboxes, can lines, and everybody saying auto gearboxes in tractor units, what are they doing?
Yeah, you were the first to make it standard, weren't you?
We were the first to make it standard, we were the first to offer it to anybody.
Yes,
and now everybody seems to be with auto boxes, and I could barely think if anybody could actually drive a manual than younger drivers these days, thinking how easy it is. It just takes away everything. Hence, you get fantastic fuel consumption.
Yeah. So you've got to be honest with this one as well.
Yeah, sure. No worries, Will.
Have you ever sold a real lemon?
I've always believed in, and yeah, my bosses might shoot me down, I won't sell something that I don't feel comfortable with. Because I see a customer as a long-serving customer, not here's a vehicle, we've had it in stock 12 months, yes it's cheap, but it ain't really going to do the job you want to do.
Understood.
And so on and so forth. I'll give you a prime example. I did lose a sale some many years ago in the TC Arrison days, where the customer wanted a 7.5 tonne with a fridge box, and I said, you need a 3.6 tonne front axle. He said, another dealer's got one. I said, well, it ain't going to have three, because ours is 3.2 front standard. He ordered it, and after about 8 months, the vehicle will come back here, so I lost the sale, and he's having kingpin issues. So the workshop said, well, so I was here on site, and I said, well, technically, the reason he's having it is because he ain't got the right front axle.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, yeah, that's how it stood. I don't, whether they covered it under the warranty, I'm not sure, but that's another story. But I will always make sure that what I sell, I'm happy and comfortable with, and what the customer gets is the specification that he or she needs, if not better.
So you still seem as enthusiastic now as you were at the start. How have you sort of remained that motivated and interested in the job?
I know that the product is definitely well advanced and so far forward than other brands, and it's so reliable now that where before you would sort of try and sell something and then you think that's going to have a problem, that's all gone. Believe me, that's all gone. Now, you know, I'm always going to be enthusiastic. Will I sell one vehicle or 100 vehicles? I never think I can't sell, I won't sell, or I've lost. And I've always said to myself, the day I don't get a buzz out of selling a vehicle is the day I sit or hand me pen up and calculate and mobile phone and say that's the end of that for the day. But the range now we've got is the best we've ever had, and it's unbelievably reliable.
What's the biggest order you've ever had?
The biggest order we've had is probably 100, well, depends what range you're looking at. So I've had nearly a couple hundred dailies. And then there's a mixed range from 7.5 to 26, about 120. And that's a lot of it's from conquest. So it takes time. And like I said to the sales guys and the girls, to see a fresh S-Way customer, you could be lucky, you could sell them something in 3 months, but it will take at least 6 to 9 months to start. And because the first thing I've always said, they got to like you. If they don't like you,
yes,
it's not going to happen for you.
Yeah.
Because that's key, and they got to trust you, and they got to believe in you. So, and that's the way I've always operated.
So is that your key advice then to a new truck salesperson?
A new truck salesman, I would always say to them, it would help if they had some sort of experience that I've had off a shop floor, because a lot of operators do actually ask, you know, how have you got here, etc. And when I explain, all of a sudden the guards go down.
Yeah.
You know, and some of the deals I've done, and because I can talk nuts and bolts or engine and gearbox and etc. Because I understand it all. But sadly, some others don't, and they won't. But if a new truck salesman coming in and they want to come into this trade, I think it's a fantastic trade. I really do. You meet lots and lots and lots of characters. Some you'll get on with, some you won't, but that's life.
Yeah.
And overall, you know, you earn yourself a half decent living. But a new young salesman, they got to be passionate, stick with the one brand. Don't start chopping and changing after a couple of years because somebody's offering you more money. Yes, money is important, but at the end of the day, you will get over the difficult hurdles that, you know, we're experiencing or had been experiencing, because that's a better brand and that's a better brand. But I think now where everything is, it's all sort of leveling out.
And are there new sales people coming through?
Yes, we are taking on new younger salesmen, early 20s. We're starting them on the van side because it's probably more easier. They might come from cars because it's understanding weights, wheelbases, because a lot of people that understand, they just think it's a big van, just load it up.
Yeah.
But a bigger van is less of a bay load.
Yeah, right.
You know, and it's explaining them to there. So we believe growing our own is going to be the way forward and future. So if we grow them from a van, we can soon coach them up to truck. Shouldn't be a problem.
But they do tend to come from car then, do they?
Some come from car, but we've had others from different industries as well. You know, as long as they got the selling attributes, then yeah, we can coach them and work them along the line, but they have to be self-motivated and interested.
Yeah.
You know, that's the two key things I always say, because I'll then send them out, right, go and look in that vehicle, go and work all the switches, come back to me and tell me what switch you don't understand. I ask the questions, because that's all. I've never held anything back. I've always shared all information with everybody and everything, and say, look, you know, but try and soak in as much information as you can.
Yeah. Okay. And you started as an apprentice. Is the group taking on apprentices today?
Yes, they are. We've just taken on a load more apprentices to start in, well, now in September. And that's within the group. I don't know the number, but it's quite a significant number. We took someone last year as well, and same again, they've probably now passed their first year. It's a good way to learn. You know, they earn, we give them incentives of tool vouchers, etc. But the other thing is also, once you've learned how to fix trucks, you also become a semi sort of skilled DIY at home. It's technically, if your radiator's got a leak, it's no different to having a radiator leak on a vehicle. So you can fix things, and you know, save a load of money on that way. But yeah, generally, my opinion, apprentices are the future that come, that need to come through to this industry. So,
I see. Tell me, how has the industry changed over the last 40 years?
Oh, that's a very good question, Will. Yes, it has changed massively from when I was on the shop floor, because you could actually fix things with a cable tie and a piece of wire.
Yeah.
You know, you go out on a breakdown and you knew what the problem was before you even got there. There wasn't too much electronics involved, and until we had our 380 horsepower engine, which is electronic diesel controlled, and with fly-by throttle pedals, and you ask yourself, well, what's wrong with the conventional old cable? And that was the way it was going. Then auto boxes came into force, disc brakes, ABS, and then it was from the Euro 1 to 2 to 3, 4, 5 and 6, and now 6E. And who knows where's it all going to end and stop, because I believe the air that's coming out of the exhaust on a Euro 6E engine now is cleaner than the air that's going into the air filtration system. So
yeah,
it's changed a lot, you know, which is extra costs. And even for technicians now, where I had loads and loads of tools, still I've got them in the garage, and now it all seems laptop and flyby and over the airways technology.
Yeah.
And when you look at a technician with a small little toolbox now, you sort of wonder why. And they're right, they don't need a huge toolbox. Yeah, technology is definitely improving, but it needs to stop, I believe, somewhere, because it's just adding cost.
And yeah, well, it's not going to stop anytime soon, is it?
It's not. We're all about GSR next and Euro 7 coming into force.
Yeah.
I mean, how clean can we go?
Well, are you getting many inquiries about electric trucks? I know you've got the eDaily at the moment, haven't
yes,
you? And then Iveco have just announced that the project with Nikola is now going to be called an Iveco.
Yes.
So, yeah, are people talking to you about it?
We are talking to customers about it. Obviously, when Nikola comes into the UK, or Iveco Electric comes into EVs coming to the UK, then I think customers will be looking at, but at the minute, I think it'll be the bigger blue chip companies that'll be looking at them. However, a lot of them are still saying if they need the infrastructure in place, not only at their sites, actually somewhere outside to charge, and because if I haven't got the charge facilities, it just ain't going to work, is it?
No, that's right.
And the daily EV, fantastic. We went to Millbrook a month or so ago, took a load of customers, and they said it's best in class for the whole range, payloads, and specification you got, from van to chassis cabs.
Yeah. Tell me, if you weren't selling trucks,
yes,
what would you be selling? What would you most like to be selling?
Supercars.
Supercars, yeah. I thought you'd say Ferrari, that. There's so many bloody models in this room. This is like a shrine to Ferrari.
Yeah. It'd be Ferraris. It would be supercars in general. I've always had a passion for supercars, and I can hear one before I can even see it. And all my friends and family say it's just sad sometimes, you know. You can hear a noise of a V8. long way. Yeah, it'll be supercars, you know, love them to bits, whether the Euro 2, Euro 1, or the new ones coming through, but you can't be a naturally aspirated V8, as I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic. And well, coming to the end now. So finally, what does the future hold for you?
A lot of people have asked me this, friends and family, because obviously I'm getting to a tender age of, I've just turned 56. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? And honestly, I haven't really thought about it, because I think the S-Way and the X-Way Rangers come through a right time for me to carry on selling. It's a new product, still a new product. I was the first one to register the first S-Way in the UK, September the 1st, 2020. Yep, left-hand drive to M-Tech. So I'll take that accolade, thank you very much. And, you know, will I look at then going in the next 4 or 5 years to do a little bit of familiarisation or training, or looking at, I don't know, helping some of our sales team of where they're going wrong, or if they're going wrong, or how can I help them, coach them, go even along with them, you know, just to sit on their shoulder to sort of guide them and assist them.
Yeah.
But I'm not going anywhere at the minute, unless guests tell me something else. But otherwise, yeah, enjoy the range, love the product, and love all the people and staff I've worked with throughout the year. So
fantastic.
And customers, not forgetting the customers. I've always said customer is king. If you ain't got a customer, you haven't got a business.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, congratulations on 40 years, and thank you very much for talking to us.
No worries, Will. Thank you very much for taking the time out speaking to us.